Throughout history, there have been some men and women identified for their eminent doctrine and remarkable holiness of life, whom the Church has declared doctors. They fulfill what we hear in Psalm 15. Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy mountain? Whoever walks without blame, doing what is right, speaking truth from the heart, who does not slander with his tongue, does no harm to a friend, never defames a neighbor, who disdains the wicked, but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath despite the cost, lends no money at interest, accepts no bribe against the innocent. Whoever acts like this shall never be shaken. Let us now place ourselves before the doctors of the Church to learn from their lives and their teaching in this program, Speaking Truth from the Heart. My name is Father Rick Martinetti. I'm a Franciscan priest, and I'm reading to you from St. Bonaventure's Life of St. Francis of Assisi. We're in Chapter 7 now, a chapter that's entitled Francis's Love of Poverty and the Miraculous Fulfillment of His Needs. And before we get into this chapter on poverty, I think I need to say a word about the historical context in which St. Francis lived. You see, Francis lived at a time when Europe was moving from the feudal system to the class system. Under the feudal system, everybody worked for the nobles as serfs or peasants, and they exchanged goods to one another. The majority of people had the simple job to work for someone in the nobility, and if they were hungry, they fed one another, they shared what they had, or they bartered and gave food and clothing to one another. But what happens in the time of Francis is a new class of people starts to evolve, the merchant class, and a bit of competition begins to emerge so that people are no longer freely trading their goods. Now they're assigning them a value and increasing that value so that they can make more money. So it's at this time that coins are introduced, money, capital, that begins to be used so that people can gain more and more. And Francis is watching this change happen in Europe, and he's frankly not happy about it. His father was part of this merchant class. His father would go off to France, get some cloth, bring it back to Assisi and sell it at a higher price and try to make a profit. And as Francis watched, he felt that this new system, this new class system that involved money, was leading people away from gospel values and making them a bit miserly, making them more concerned about wealth than about the people around them. So with that in mind, we're going to see how Francis hated money. Coins were just being introduced, and they became a symbol to him of this new system that was taking over the known world. And so he wanted his friars to not even touch money, to not give in to this new system that was taking over, and instead to go back to the gospel values of lending and sharing, seeing someone in need, and giving that person what they need. With that in mind, let's hear a little bit about what St. Bonaventure says about Francis's love for poverty. Among the gifts of charisms which Francis obtained from the generous giver, he merited as a special privilege to grow in the riches of simplicity through his love for highest poverty. The holy man, realizing that poverty was a close friend of the Son of God, yet was nowadays an outcast throughout almost the whole world, was eager to espouse her, Lady Poverty, in an everlasting love. For her sake, he not only left his father and mother, but also scattered everything he could have. You could say no one coveted gold as he coveted poverty. No one was as careful of guarding a treasure as he was of this pearl of the gospel. In this especially would his sight be offended if he saw in his brothers anything which did not accord completely with poverty. Truly, from the beginning of his religious life until his death, his wealth was simply a tunic, a cord, and some undergarments. With these he was content. He frequently pondered in his heart the poverty of Jesus Christ and his Blessed Mother, claiming that poverty was the queen of the virtues because she shone so remarkably in the Son of God and in his Holy Mother. The King of Kings and the Queen had embraced holy poverty. One time when the brothers were gathered together and they were asking which virtue makes one a greater friend of Christ, Francis replied, as if opening the secret of his heart, "You know, brothers, that poverty is the special way to salvation. It is the stimulus of humility and the root of perfection, whose fruit is many but hidden. For this is the hidden treasure of the gospel field. To buy it, everything must be sold, and in comparison, everything that cannot be sold must be spurned." Often when he spoke to the brothers about poverty, he would insist on the saying of the gospel, "The foxes have their holes, and the birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Because of this, he taught the brothers to build like the poor little houses, which they should inhabit not as their own, but like pilgrims and strangers, as belonging to others. For he would say that the law of pilgrims is to be sheltered under someone else's roof, to thirst for their homeland, and to make their way in peace. Sometimes he ordered the brothers to tear down houses they had built or to move out of them if he noticed that in them they were contrary to gospel poverty because they were sumptuous. In the same way, he would teach, as he learned from a revelation, that entering his sacred order should begin with that gospel passage, "If you wish to be perfect, go sell all that you have and give to the poor." Therefore, only those who had given up everything and kept nothing would he admit to the order, both because of the words of the Holy Gospel and because they should not cause scandal by holding on to anything outside of the will of God. Thus, when someone asked to be received into the order one time in the marches of Ancona, Francis said, "If you want to join Christ's poor, distribute what you have to the poor of the world." When he heard this, the man went off and, led by love of the flesh, gave his goods to his relatives and gave nothing to the poor. When the holy man heard him tell of this, he reproached him, "Go on your way, brother Fly, for you have not yet left your home and your family. You gave what you had to your relatives and you cheated the poor. You're not worthy of the holy poor. You began with the flesh. You laid down a crumbling foundation for a spiritual building." I should comment here that Francis is very strict when it comes to poverty as the new men are joining his order. What he really is trying to instill in them is complete dependence on God. Poverty, it's tied to obedience and to humility. And here this brother started off in disobedience, not doing what Francis asked, and giving his stuff to his family, maybe in the hopes that it would one day come back to him. Or if it didn't work out, he would have kind of a net to fall back on. Today we know when people join religious life, it's not easy. It takes time to make a break from the world and to depend fully on the Creator. But Francis wants this young man to be rooted first off in obedience and trusting in divine providence. And that's why he was so strict with poverty, because he saw that the less we have, the more we see the hand of God alive in our lives. The more we give over to God and depend on God, the more we see God taking care of us. And so Francis didn't want the brothers to cheat themselves out of divine providence, letting the Lord take care of them, by depending too much on their friends or their families or their wealth. So he comes across as very strict, especially with the new men that were joining his budding brotherhood. But Francis, the man of God, was most strict with himself. If he saw someone dressed poorer than himself, immediately criticizing himself, he set out to be similar, as if contending with a rival for poverty and afraid to be overcome. It happened one day that he met a poor man on the road. When he saw the man's nakedness, his heart was deeply moved, and he said to his companion in a sad voice, This man's need brings great shame on us, for we have chosen poverty for its great riches, and see it shines more clearly in him. He would give his tunic to whoever he saw in need. For love of holy poverty, the servant of Almighty God used the alms he had begged from door to door more gladly than those offered spontaneously. For if he were invited by distinguished persons and honored by a more lavish dinner, he would first seek some pieces of bread at the neighboring houses, and then, enriched by poverty, sit down at table. And once he did this when he was invited by the Lord Bishop of Ostia, who held Christ's poor man in special affection. After the bishop complained that he had disparaged his honor, as would be expected when a dinner guest goes out to beg alms, Francis replied, "My lord, I showed you great honor while I have honored a greater lord. For the Lord Jesus is pleased by poverty, and especially when one freely chooses to go begging for his name. This is the royal dignity which the Lord Jesus assumed when he became poor for us, that he might enrich us by his want, and would make us truly poor in spirit as heirs and kings of the kingdom of heaven. I do not wish to relinquish this royal dignity for the false riches granted for only an hour." And that's the key to Francis's love for poverty. He saw that poverty was what Jesus Christ embraced in the Gospels. The Son of God was rich beyond imagination, and he emptied himself. He came into our world and chose to be poor and vulnerable, to come into our world as a baby, in need of being nurtured and clothed and protected. And then throughout his life, he continually chose the lowest places, served instead of seeking to be served, and even died a death on a cross between two criminals. Francis was in awe at the poverty of Jesus Christ, and so he tried to himself stay poor his whole life, that he might come to know and love the poor and crucified Jesus Christ. Bonaventure continues. Once on a holy Easter Sunday, while he was staying at a hermitage that was so far from any houses that he could not conveniently go begging, he begged alms from the brothers, like a pilgrim and a beggar, mindful of him who that day appeared in the guise of a pilgrim to his disciples traveling on the road to Emmaus. When he had humbly received it, he taught them with sacred eloquence to continually celebrate the Lord's Passover in poverty of spirit. That is, his passing from this world to the Father, passing through the desert of the world like pilgrims and strangers and like true Hebrews. And because when begging alms, he was motivated not by greed for profit, but by liberty of spirit, God, the Father of the poor, seemed to have a special care for Francis. Once when the Lord's servant was gravely ill at a place in Nocera, he was brought back to Assisi by formally appointed representatives sent for that purpose out of devotion by the people of Assisi. As they carried Francis back, they came to a poor little village called Satriano, where their hunger and the hour called for food. They went out, and finding nothing for sale, returned empty-handed. The holy man told them, "You didn't find anything because you trust more in those flies of yours than in God." For he used to call coins flies. "But go back," he said, "to the houses which you have visited, and offering the love of God as a reward, humbly ask for an alms. Do not consider this shameful or cheap out of false esteem, for after sin everything is bestowed as alms. For that great almsgiver, out of his abundant piety, gives to both the worthy and the unworthy." The knights overcame their embarrassment, readily begged for alms, and brought more back with the love of God than they could with money, since their hearts were Struck with compunction by the divine nod, the poor villagers generously gave not only what was theirs, but also themselves. And so it happened that Francis's wealthy poverty supplied the need which money could not alleviate. Again, as I've said, Francis is against coins or money because he sees the change that's happening in the world as money is introduced. And he knows what's happening. He's aware of where this could lead. People are depending more and more on their own wealth and less on God and less on one another and on charity and on sharing. It's funny that it really kind of speaks to our times where we are so independent and each individual trying to build his or her fortune so that we don't need other people. And it seems that only the poor know their need for others and ultimately their need for God. And that's the poverty Francis wanted to embrace. When we have so much that we don't need other people, well, we're kind of cheating ourselves out of the love that the Lord wants us to have in our lives. The Lord wants us to have a certain interdependence and to need one another and to above all need Him. And if you think about it, those who don't have any money in their pockets, they're the ones that are praying to the Lord and maybe communicating with Him daily, asking the Lord to take care of their daily needs. Those who don't know how they're going to survive from one meal to the next or where their next bit of food is coming from, you can bet those are prayerful individuals who the Lord is feeding. And you can see the faith of a poor person who is so grateful for what they've been given, knowing that it freely comes from God. And this is the treasure that Francis found. This is what St. Bonaventure is trying to get across for him. For him, poverty wasn't an evil, and it wasn't just a discipline to be imposed. It was a way to freedom of spirit, a way to know and to believe firmly that God is present in our world. God still wants to take care of us. The more we depend on God, the more we pray, the more we put our lives in the hands of God, the more we will see God active in taking care of even our simplest needs. And so now we'll continue with more stories from Bonaventure. At the time when he was lying ill in a hermitage near Rieti, a doctor visited Francis often to care for him. Since the poor man of Christ was unable to pay him adequately for his services, the most generous God made up for the poor man and repaid the doctor for his devoted care with the following favor, so that he would not go without payment in this present life. The doctor's new house, which he had just spent all his money building, was threatened with collapse because of a wide crack in the wall, which reached from the top to the bottom, a collapse which seemed unavoidable by human means. Fully trusting in the merits of the holy man, and out of devotion of his great faith, he asked his companions to give him something which the man of God had touched with his own hands. After many requests, and the friars thinking about what he asked, he finally obtained a small amount of Francis's hair, which he placed one evening in the crack in the wall. When he rose in the morning, he found that the crack had been so firmly closed that he could not pull out the hairs he had placed there, nor could he even find a trace of the crack. And so it happened that because he had dutifully ministered to the body of God's servant in its state of collapse, he avoided the danger of the collapse of his house. And this little story just clues us into the value of relics, which we still venerate today. Even something that a holy person had once touched, and today pieces of saints' bodies or their clothing are distributed. And if we approach these items with faith, the Lord may very well just work miracles through them. We see it again and again. You know, even in gospel times, people just wanted to touch the tassel of the cloak of the Lord. And if they touched his cloak with enough faith, they were cured. The shadow of St. Peter passes over people in the Acts of the Apostles, and they're healed. Not because there's any power in a shadow or in a cloak. The power is in the faith that the individuals bring to these items. And that's why we have relics in the church. When people believe that an individual, a man or a woman, was holy, they want more of them. They want them to live on even beyond their years on the earth. And so we have pieces of bone, pieces of the body, tiny, tiny little fragments in a reliquary that have been used to be instruments of God's healing. And we see it here while Francis is alive, and this man's home is saved by the hair of Francis. Again, there's no power in the hair. The power is in the faith brought to this situation. Let's continue. Another time, as the man of God wanted to go to a hermitage to spend more time in contemplation, because he was weak, he rode on a donkey belonging to a certain poor man. As it was summertime, the man climbed up a mountain following Christ's servant. Worn out from the long and grueling journey, and weakened further by a burning thirst, he began to cry out urgently after the saint, "Look, I'll die of thirst if I don't get a drink immediately." Without delay, Francis, the man of God, leaped down from the donkey, knelt on the ground, raised his hands to heaven, and prayed unceasingly until he understood that he had been heard. After he had finished his prayer, he told the man, "Hurry over there to the rock, and you will find living water, which at this very hour Christ has mercifully brought forth water from the rock for you to drink." How amazingly kind God is, so easily bowing to his servants. A thirsty man drank water from the rock by the power of another's prayer and took a drink from the most solid rock. There was no stream of water there before, nor could any be found since, even after a careful search. How Christ multiplied food at sea through the merits of this poor man will be noted below. Here, let it suffice to mention that with only a small amount of food that he had been given as alms, he saved sailors for a number of days from starvation and the danger of death. From this, one could clearly see that just as the servant of the Almighty was like Moses in drawing water from the rock, he was like Elisha in the multiplication of provisions. Therefore, let every lack of confidence be far from Christ's poor ones. For if the poverty of Francis was so abundantly sufficient that by a marvelous power it supplied the destitution of those who came to his aid, providing food, drink, and housing, when money, skill, or natural means were lacking, how much more will it merit those things that are given to all in the usual plan of divine providence? If a dry rock gave drink abundantly to a poor man who was thirsty at the word of another poor man, nothing at all will refuse its service to those who have left all for the Creator of all. And so Bonaventure concludes chapter 7 with a couple of stories that harken back to the Old Testament. Stories of Francis that we see foreshadowed in Moses and Elisha. Why is he sharing this with us? Just to encourage us to depend on divine providence. Seeking water from a rock is ridiculous by human standards. But to the person of faith, it can be done. To the person of faith, nothing is impossible for God. To those who have little and are depending on God the Father provides, because the Father wants to give to his children all that is good. Francis learned this secret. And so it was not outrageous for him to expect the Lord to take care of him, because he had given himself totally over to God and put himself completely in the arms of the Heavenly Father. Now, of course, Francis was a saint, a man rooted in God and completely trusting in Jesus Christ. We struggle a little bit more than he did with these things. It's not easy for us to put our lives in the hands of God, but it is possible. Maybe the challenge for us is to take whatever little step is next in depending more fully on God. We don't have to get rid of our property, our homes, or sell everything we have. If that's not our calling, then it would be wrong to engage in that. But maybe we can all look at our own lives and say, how can I depend more on God? What can I bring more to prayer? And instead of trying to just take care of myself and meet all expectations on my own, turn a little bit more of my life over to God. Sometimes we rush ahead. We have a problem and we have a quick solution. But let's bring even our problems to God and ask Him to take care of them. Ask Him to guide. Ask Him to feed us and give us drink in the ways that we need today. Maybe through prayer, we can come to trust our God even more. And that might give us the courage to embrace poverty in whatever little way we are called to it today. To have less of the things of the world is to have more of God. May St. Francis of Assisi pray and intercede for us. May St. Bonaventure pray for us from heaven to teach us how to hold on to Jesus Christ and to do what is ours to do. My name is Father Rick Martinetti, a Franciscan priest with the Order of Friars Minor, and I want to thank you for taking this time to listen with me and to reflect on the writings of St. Bonaventure. And let's continue to ask his prayer and his intercession that what we hear may truly have an effect in our lives, that it may sink deeply into our hearts and lead us to a life of greater love for our Lord Jesus Christ. And may God give you peace.